But you ever read something 100 times, maybe even 1,000 times, and you go over it one more time and you stub your toe on it? Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 just simply says, rejoice evermore. Now, rejoice evermore. I'll put that on my coffee mug. I'll put that on my hat. I'll put that next to some nice flowers. I'll print that out. I'll put it on my wall in a nice frame. Rejoice evermore. What made me stumble is because I always like to ask myself, right, YBH, yeah, but how, when I read the scriptures, right? When you see things like that, a nice saying like that, what does that look like in my life? How do I execute this in my life? I want you to think about that. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice always. Always in that rejoicing attitude. Is that something that fits us? Is that you? Oh, think about Brother So-and-so. I remember Brother So-and-so. He rejoiced every time. Every time you saw him, he was glad of what God gave him. Every time he had something nice to say about the Lord, he was always praising the Lord for something, always excited. He didn't have much. He had trouble time and time again. But every time we saw him, he had an attitude of rejoicing. That's hard for me and you, isn't it? There's a lot of reasons why we may struggle to rejoice evermore. Sometimes it's because we're in the thick of it. Sometimes, though, it's not born out of issues. It's because we're not tapped into our gratitude. We forgot what we have. So while you're there, Psalm 147, let's go ahead and read this. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are in awe of you. Lord, we have gratitude for all that you've done, but Father, sometimes we're not paying attention to all the things that we have and all the things that you've done. Lord, help us to be able to rejoice in all things and at all times, because Father, we see how good you are. Lord, be with us as we dive into this message. Father, I pray that we can take something from it. Lord, move me aside and let your word take control. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. It's hard to rejoice when we're struggling, of course, and it's hard to rejoice when we're filled with anxiety. It's hard to rejoice when we're hiding in sin. It's hard to rejoice when we're filled with frustration. It's hard, but for the Christian, it's possible. For the Christian, it's possible. Now, you take any Tom, Dick, or Harry off the street, and they don't know the Lord, and they're struggling, they're going to have a hard time being glad. You give them some bad news, the doctor calls them on the phone, maybe they just checked their bank account, maybe they just walked out of their boss's office, they got some bad news. They're going to have a hard time rejoicing. They might not be able to do it. But I've seen Christians in all of those circumstances acknowledge what's going on. They're not in denial, hurting from what's going on because they're no fools. But they still rejoice. They still rejoice. What we've got to stop believing is the lie that we're going to be in positions where we can't have joy. God's people always have joy. God's people always have cause to rejoice. The problem comes down to us. Much like Peter, we look at the storm and we count the waves. Anybody here? I'm sure we've got more than just me here. We're really good at counting the waves. You see what the problem is with that? The problem is with that, this is what's going on. And I don't like that. See, yeah, that's good, but you see that flaw right there? And it ruins the whole thing. Ruins the whole thing. Danielle showed me a picture somebody sent her that was taken last night. We're all by that little, I won't say teepee, but the tent-looking thing y'all had built, and they had the hay bales in front of it. We took a picture in front of it, and the first thing I saw was me. Man, look at that face. Look. Why would you sit down for a picture? Look at that. Look at that midsection, man. That's all I saw. But what I failed to do was see the rest of the picture. I failed to see the rest of it. I failed to see the family that I'd been praying for since I was a teenager. I failed to see the kids that I had prayed so long and hard for. I failed to see the church family that means so much to me around me. I failed to see the spread of food. I failed to see the fellowship we were having. I failed to see all of it. Why? Because my eyes went to what I didn't like. Now, that doesn't happen overnight, does it? We train ourselves to be that much of a bummer. We do. Most of the time, if you're a grump, you've taught yourself how to be a grump by doing what? Looking at all the things you don't like. Right? We were talking just recently, I think it was at the Friday coffee thing. People who send their orders back too much. Right? Well, everything was good, but that one waffle was too soggy. Send the whole thing back. I'm not going out to lunch with you anymore. Right? We're not doing this anymore. We look and we find things. You ever go with a general contractor someplace and they start pointing out the flaws in the building? You see that? That wasn't done right. You see the trim on that? Never would find that on my work site. It's kind of a bummer. Thanks for being a bugaboo here, man. Is there nothing that makes you excited? I mean, I haven't seen you in 2 years. And all you're talking about is how you don't like the carpeting. We train ourselves to be that way. And folks, if that's the way we've trained ourselves to be, we've got no one else but ourselves to blame when we've lost that ability to rejoice in the Lord. Because we've completely changed what it is. We've become like Jonah, right? The Lord rescued us from our will, rescued us from the belly of our punishment, put us into His service. That service was a great success by God's standard. And there we sit grumbling because the gourd we love so much died. You took away my shade, Lord, my shade. If we really come to grips with what's going on in our lives, all the blessings that are there, we'll find a great amount of motivation to praise the Lord the way we ought to. Right, we see the very first verse here. What does it say? Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant and praise is comely. I love this explanation. Why should we praise God? Because it's good to. What's wrong with you? Because it's comely. It makes sense to do so. Because God is God. Think of how powerful God is. I think of the story of who He is to us. He was the Creator that created the world, created everything we value here on earth, created all the beauty we're seeing in the world around us right now. Put us in the midst of a garden where it just gave us food. Gave us one rule. We weren't even grateful enough to keep that one rule. We transformed what God created us into, right? We created to be one thing. Sin transformed us into another. All of God's creation right there, damaged and hurt. Any creator, any artist worth their salt would have grabbed a hold of what He'd created, thrown it away, and started over again, but not my God. My God gave me the law to teach me where I was wrong, to show to me my sin nature, to show me that I'm incapable of being perfect. He sent His Son to die on the cross for my imperfections. He not only created me, but He's gone all this length, all this work to redeem me. And every day the blessings. Every day you wake up is a blessing. Every day you're able to walk out of bed. Some of you know this. The days you can get out of bed are wonderful days. The days you can come into church and sit in a pew and it not completely put you into excruciating pain are blessings. The problem is that we go too long with good backs and good working feet. We forget. We forget what a blessing it is to have the strength and the mobility and just the strength to be able to do things. God is spectacular to us. And we ought to respond in such a way. He is sovereign. He is absolute. He bears His truth on His own. There is no discussion. There is no out-talking Him. There is nothing that coincides or even comes close to being as good as what God has to say. No one is as grand as God. No one is as wise as He is. If anybody's going to get praise, it should be Him. And think of the people that we dole it out on. Right? Pop stars. Television and movie stars. People who are famous on the internet. And then we find out that they're scoundrels of one kind or another, and we cancel them. Didn't that bother you? When there's somebody that you really, really liked and you found out something just awful about their personal life, you're like, oh, man. Like, I got you on a t-shirt somewhere. What's wrong with you? Kind of let me down here. I've never had that happen with God. I mean, we'll spend money. We'll shout people's names. Oh, yeah, it's so good to see you. Oh, man, so excited. We'll get all excited just to meet them. But if anybody deserves the praise, it's God. It's the only right thing to do. When I stand in that glory, when I see who He is and I see what He's done in my life, the only right response is to be excited. I saw a skit one time. We were in high school. Somebody did this. It was one of those, do they still do Publishers Clearing House? I don't know. But they showed up with a giant, like in the skit, one kid showed up with a giant check. And they knocked on the door of another person, and they're like, oh, yeah, well, that's great. And the balloons and streamers, and there's a bunch of people on the outside that are going, oh, yeah, you won. That's all right, I guess, yeah. So, like, do I just take that down to the bank? It's very monotone, very flat pan. And many of us were like that. We're singing these songs, and our heart isn't even kind of elevated. Some of us have the ability to sing about our own salvation, bored with it. Oh, are we singing the song again? All right, is this the second or the third? Do I have time to go grab a water, go to the bathroom? Do I have time to go for a walk? Oh, if we really knew what we had, the only response would be to praise Him. The Bible says all of creation knows who He is. No, there's a bunch of people that deny He exists. Oh, yeah? I think in our heart, we know who He is, even when we're lost. But the Bible tells us that, but there's subtle clues, right? One of them is this. Nobody ever blasphemes Allah's name. When was the last time you were at the market and somebody used Allah in a derogatory term? Well, we don't go to that country. We don't have See, I've been around a lot of people from the Middle East. I've never heard it. We used to have a lot of folks who would come in from all different parts of the country in one of our sites. They were at the college there. We talked to them. They would come up. They would use our clubhouse. I got to know a lot of them well. They taught me something. It was pretty cool. Never once. I have never seen somebody drop something and go, oh, Buddha. Never. Why do we not see that? Because our hearts only react to one. Our hearts only react to one. Oh, well, we don't believe He exists, so how are we supposed to be affected one way or the other? Okay, how about this? I know of a certain man whose holiday is coming up, who doesn't exist, and I've never again heard somebody cuss while saying Santa's name. Never. Never. Why? Because I think we know. Listen, we can sit there and I can open a fortune cookie and I can read off some quote by Buddha. Most people don't even flinch. Oh, that's real nice. Those little fortune cookies. Oh, that's real nice. That's a good saying. I like that. I've never heard anybody say, whoa, we don't talk religion at the table. Never once. Right? I can sit there with my Bible out. Somebody, at one particular time, I can't remember what book it was, but it was a book on Eastern mysticism. And they had that out, and they were talking about it, and they were reading a passage of it. I got in trouble for having my Bible. Nobody said anything to them. Why? Because the world's not fair? No, because they know who he is and it offends them. Because even the demons believe and tremble. We're men. We're not the demons. We're going to fear and tremble too. That's why there's that anger there. That's why. Not a lot of people getting angry about some of the other things that they pertain to be imaginary. But I think only the power of God can do what it does to a lot of people who don't like him. See, you've got to believe in somebody to get angry about him. Just saying. Believe in somebody just a little bit. He's spectacular. He's wonderful. What we believe here that praising God to be the only respectable thing to do. The only respectable thing to do. God deserves our respect. For all the things he's done, I mean, you think about this. We teach kids. I was taught this. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. My great grandmother, we would take Grammy out. We would take her to the doctor's appointment. We would take her here. She would take her there. We'd go out to dinner. We'd go out to lunch. And you know what my Grammy would make me do? All right, Matt, sit up. Look him straight in the eye. Talk clear. Okay. You say please. Please. And oh, help me if I didn't say please. And oh, boy, if I didn't say thank you. Say thank you. Thank you. Sorry about him. I was taught. Now I can't sit there and I can't go to a restaurant and sit down with a meal with somebody who doesn't say please and thank you to the person taking the order. Right? You just get to sit down and they're going to bring you this food. You can't say please or thank you. What's wrong with you? It's the only respectful thing. Right? Well, why do you say please? Why did you say please and thank you to that cop? Because that's what you're supposed to do. One time a cop gave me a ticket. It's been a long time, by the way. But somebody gave me the last, I think it was the last ticket I got. Handed me the ticket. All right, son, slow it down. All right, thank you. I was driving halfway down the road when it hit me. Just said thank you for the ticket, you dummy. It's respectful. Lord, thank you. I mean, if somebody handed, some people hand me pieces of paper I don't even want. You'll be walking around, they'll hand you a flyer for something. Thank you. I never look at it. I never read it. It never made it to the fridge door. I didn't go to wherever it is. The crab sale you were having, I never went to it. But I still say thank you. I am a recipient of all of the things that God has given us. I've got salvation. I live in a world filled with beauty and wonder. I better say thank you. And that thank you better match the gift. If I've got any respect at all, I should say thank you. He's the Lord. It's the only respectful thing to do. Verse 2, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Verse 6, the Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. We see that what the Lord is doing here in our lives is he's doing a mighty work. And we talked about this during our Sunday school class. Sometimes we don't always like the work that's getting done. Sometimes we don't always like the fire that we're in or the trials that we're in. But God is doing a mighty work, and part of that work is taking care of you. It's taking care of you. What is it that is said there? We're talking about lifting up the meek. We're talking about healing the broken in heart. We're talking about binding wounds. Why? Because God cares for you that way. Isn't it good to have friends that care for you? Isn't it good to have that? And I tell you what, this church has taken care of my family. You have. It could never be said of this church that they didn't take care of their pastor and his family. Never. It's good to have people that love you. But folks, it's good to love other people back. God binds your wounds. He heals the marks. He fixes your heart. He lifts you up. He cares for you, watches over you, gives you the things that you need. We should say thank you. We should have something more than just, gee, thanks, or, you know, praise God. Yeah, praise the Lord. And then we move on. What about privately going to the Father? What about instead of just singing to yourself, every now and then you busted out a hymn that reflected how you felt? that reflected what God has done to you and done for you. We see in this meek, building up the meek or lifting up the meek. We know what meekness is, right? Meekness is not this pathetic, whimpery little thing that sometimes we try to make it to be. You know what meekness is? It's strength that knows what its sheath looks like. Some of us, we're all strength and we're no kindness. We're always ready for the battle. We're always ready to pick at something. We're always ready to fight over something. But you can have strength. You should have strength. But you should know when to put it at your side. Sometimes you don't need an angry word. Sometimes you need a nice word. Right? A soft answer does what? Turneth away wrath. Sometimes it doesn't need to be the boots. Sometimes it needs to be instruction. Sometimes it doesn't need to be a harsh correction or an angry reaction. It just needs to be some godlike forgiveness. Some godly love. So those that are meek, those that have strength, yes, but they choose to sheath it. They chose not to be boastful. They chose not to be dangerous or harmful to others. He'll lift them up. But what does he do to the people that are out there wielding strength and hurting other people and taking all whatever? What does he do? He brings them low. He brings them low. Listen, I don't know what's going to happen with our politicians. I don't know what's going to happen with the politicians over in Russia. I don't know what's going to happen with the politicians over in Ukraine. But I do know this. Eventually, the Lord's going to bring them down low. We had that issue before in the Middle East. Oh, there was this dictator, that dictator, this person doing that. Brought them low. Oh, Hillary, for all of her crimes that she's committed in her life. Oh, Bill, for all the crimes that he committed in his life. What do we see now? They're brought low. Can't get elected. I can't remember the last time we saw Bill do anything. And if we did, we probably wouldn't even want to know what he was doing, I'm telling you. What happens to these corrupt people that we dislike so much in our government? These corrupt people with all the money and all the power and they're doing awful things. What's going to happen to them? Lord's going to bring them low. He will. Maybe not in the time frame we would like. Maybe not in the time frame we would even be able to see. But it will happen. I've brought this up recently, but I can't stop thinking about it. They put up that brand new, as Thursday, they put up that brand new little spot for people to sit in for the bus stop. I have never loved a bus stop before, but I love that one, man. I know there's some, well, that's going to bring a lot of traffic over around the church, people walking. I'm okay with that compared to what we had and what we could have had. And I feel spoiled because Brother Titus, I know, prayed and fussed over that situation. I know that it brought him consternation. I know he was probably often with the Lord about that bar next door. And I feel so sad that I get to be the one to watch the bus stop go up. Because it's one thing to watch it get brought low. It's another thing for the Lord to repurpose something in front of your eyes. Oh, don't you understand? That's what God is doing right now. And yes, it's easy for us to look at the wind and the waves and look at all the problems I have and look at this. I'm not talking about us ignoring the problems. You've got responsibilities in those problems. You got to handle the problems. But don't forget about the safety. Don't forget about the work the Lord is doing in that situation. Don't forget about His watch care and love for you. He's the one balancing the scales. We may seesaw for a little bit, but he'll balance those scales, and we praise him for that, because I'd much rather it be him than me. Us with our prone to overcorrection, us with our short-sightedness, us with our lack of wisdom, us with our we can only control the things within our eyesight. God is aware of all things and has a plan for all things. Aren't you glad? I'd much rather him than anybody else. Verse 4, he telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. There's not a thing my God can't do. You know, we think about this. You know, we name stars sometimes. We have names for stars. We have names for constellations. And you know what's funny is if you go back far enough in history, they had different names. And in different cultures, they had different names. Why? Because we looked up and we said, okay, well, that one is this, and that one is that. But there's no way for us to know the real names of those things. You know the names that God was thinking when he hung them? When he says, all right, you go there, and you go there, and you go there. You know, we name our planets. I'm sure God has names for them as well, according to this verse. This is what I call them. This is what their names are. And he knows their names. Why? Because he made them. He made them, and he again put them all there for a purpose and for a reason. His power in these things is infinite. Who else would I praise? You think about our politicians today, the way so many people praise them. Oh, yeah, we shout their names and we put bumper stickers all over every square inch of our car. You ever see those? Where the car is more bumper sticker than anything else, to where you're afraid a good power washing would just obliterate the car itself. I've seen some cars, I'm like, man, that thing is 90% bumper sticker. You start taking those off, the bumper's going to fall, something like that. That's too much weight in that car. That's a full-bodied person's weight on that car with bumper stickers. And we shout their name and we're so excited. I always get a chuckle when I pass by one and the candidate either ran or lost or ran or won, but it was like 6, 7, 8 years ago. And it's like, okay, still representing Bush Senior. That's wonderful. How's that car still on the road? Listen, we lift these people up and we cheer them, but then we boo their failures. We boo when we find out that they're just people. We boo when we find out that they're limited. And we get cranky about them, and we use it together in our political arguments back and forth, right? We bicker over these things. The only one really worthy of that kind of praise is our God. It's our God. I love him for his knowledge. I love him for his greatness to us. If we continue reading on, we see verse 8, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He mendeth out his sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters flow. Many of you, you've got animals at home. I've got animals. You've got animals. And you've probably got what you know exactly what you feed them. You can probably run through your head right now. Okay, for these animals, I feed them this. For the cats, they get this. The dog gets that. You know, depending on what you got, right? We know what to feed them. We know when to feed them. We know when their stomachs are getting upset. So we change the food we give them. And it's a whole ordeal, isn't it? It really can be. Right? All right, well, that one doesn't like this food, but this one does, but it doesn't like the food that this one. So you kind of, okay, well, all right, what's going to make everybody healthy? What's going to make everybody happy? Imagine doing that for the entire earth. And that's what God does. And we're discovering new animals every day. And we're still trying to figure those things out. How does that bug work? Where did that bug come from? Right? We haven't found anything big in a while, but it's always like a little fish or a little bug we found somewhere. And we're like, oh, we've never seen anything like it before. Isn't that wonderful? God's been feeding that thing the whole time. With how? By causing the water to fall down. Causing the things to grow right in that area. Protecting it, preserving it. You know, and some of us are blessed. Some struggle. You know, I think about this right now. I always like to go. Danielle does all the grocery shopping because she's got twice the brain I do. You send me grocery shopping, the bill's going to be huge. We'll still be missing half the things we're supposed to have. She's got a science to it. So I like to open the cupboard doors every now and then just to see what we got after a good grocery shop. Just let's it. Oh, wow. I open this up, and my wife, who totes, I'm picking on you, who totes how she grew up with no sugar cereals in the house, bought a cereal for the kids called S'more Cereal. I looked inside the bag. It was like little chocolate pieces. Not like chocolate, but like the chocolate puffs. like graham cracker looking puffs and some marshmallows. And I go, oh. So if you see the kids just running through here on a Sunday morning, that's what it is. We talk about, in that verse, it talked about having good wheat. Sometimes Lord gives us some great stuff. I mean, we've got enough food, we're making s'mores for breakfast, right? We'll have enough food at a conference, we'll have enough food at a fellowship. We send it home with people, right? And there's a steadily growing list of people who say, stop sending me home with this, or that. I've got rules for food I bring home. I got to put it in the trunk. It can't sit next to me on the way home. Why? Because we're so filled with good stuff. We really are. Right? For some of us, the biggest battle we have in life is keeping this down. That's a blessing, by the way. That's a blessing that that's what you're struggling with, because there are some other people out there with bloated bellies because they're starving. We've got it good. And while that should inspire us to help those without, let us never be ungrateful for what we have. Never be ungrateful. He provides in these seasons. He gives to us these things. He keeps the wheels turning on this planet. Keeps things going the way that they should. He keeps our stomachs full. Maybe not as full as we would like. Maybe not always as full as we would need. But he keeps us going with those things. We see here so much illustration to the frost and the cold and how he talks down and it all melts away. Lord even handles the inclement weather, doesn't he? Even causes that for us. You know what would happen if just had great weather all year round here in Michigan? Some of you would work yourselves to death. We need the frost. We need the cold. We need things outside to freeze so we'd stop going out there so we could stop and relax a little bit. Right? He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing for us. He's got the seasons, and the seasons regenerate the earth in the way that they should, and things happen the way that they're supposed to. Plants grow, they die, their seeds work the way that they're supposed to. He keeps things going. So we ought to praise him. We ought to praise him. Verse 19, he showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as far as his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord. Now this was written. I mean, this was written, and the children of Israel, they were it, man. They were the only ones. And to this day, the Lord has not dealt that way with any other nation. He created and lifted up his chosen people. He gave them his word. He taught them. He was patient with them. He punished them to bring them back when they went off. He continually corrected them. He made sure that they were never disbanded or genocided away. He took care of them. Far more than what they deserved. And yet continually, here was the word. Here was the word. When Jesus Christ was born, who heard it first? Who was offered the gospel first? It was them. Now, we didn't receive, unless there's any full-blooded Jews in here, we didn't receive the word as part of the nation. We received it as the elect, as the individual. And I'll tell you this, I'm grateful for it. Because I wasn't even a part of the original group. Now, I was always part of the plan. It's always part of God's list. But I wasn't a part of the special people. But he chose to give that to me. You know what? We had the men from Flat Rock come and knock on our door back when we lived in the apartments. I believe we had them there at least once. Mom had them in. They talked for a little while. They went on their way. That was it. That was it. Wasn't until my friend called, hey, Matt, why don't you come with me? He wanted to get a piece of candy for bringing a friend to a thing. So I went there. That didn't have to happen. That friend that I had was somebody who I would talk to sporadically over the years. He was really the son of my mom's best friend. And I really, really got along with him all that well. He was just a little bit too rambunctious for me. Like, we didn't click well. But one day he called me out of the blue. Don't make no sense from a worldly perspective. And of me, there was 30, maybe 40 kids that would come to that program. And of my age range, I was the only one who walked out. I was the only one left. And there were many others that were younger than me that would come in the van with me that would eventually go. And eventually I started riding in the van as the captain to make sure all the kids behaved themselves. And there were many others. But I can't think of too many that got on that van with me that stayed. Don't make no sense. I should have walked out the same as the rest of them. I should have heard the word. I should have got bored with the word. I should have been told that I really shouldn't be celebrating this or that. I should have gotten upset when I was told I shouldn't be doing this or that. And all my other friends were. I should have gotten upset. I should have walked away. But that's not the way the Lord wrote my story. You understand? I didn't deserve His word. The Israelites didn't deserve His word. But that's the God who He is. I'm going to give it to you anyway. I'm going to care for you anyway. And the Word of God was used by the Holy Spirit to convict this soul. To make me new again. If for any other reason than the fact that you're saved, your mouth should be filled with praises for Him. Because when push comes to shove and you do all the math, it doesn't make sense that it would be you. I'm not saying that to pick on anybody. We're not causing some sad faces. But you really think about it. What do I bring to the table? What do I really do that God couldn't do on His own? That He couldn't find better to do? And we do. We moan that way, don't we? Oh, it's not good enough. It's not nice enough. It's not the way I'd want it to be. God chose you. So be glad and rejoice in the fact that you get to do it. God called you. And it's not just that He used His word to save you. It's not that He used His word to convict you. It's not just that. There's more. He then takes that word, and you can use that word. You can use His Bible to live your life in a better way than you could have ever guessed or picked at. You can take what He has to say, apply it to your life, and things will go grander for you. And then for many of us, we get the opportunity to take that word and be a help to somebody else. Be it around the coffee table, the dinner table, the banquet table, right here in His house. We pick up that word and we get to teach it. I was a weird kid. Still kind of am. But I grew up from being an odd duck to a silly goose. And I think, you know, somebody who is like me, you know, I wouldn't make sense the Lord would use someone like me to be a preacher. I preached my first sermon at the age of 15. That makes 20 years I've had this book open in front of me while I've been barking about it. Now, don't let that impress you, because those many times in that year I wasn't, you know, I got to every now and then. Don't make no sense that I get to do it. So you know what you got to do. You got to pick it up and be glad that you get the opportunity. If you have a willing participant, people who are willing to listen, you need to take that opportunity. Somebody asks you a question, you better be willing to have, like, doesn't the Bible say, have an answer? We better have an answer. And take joy in it. Was it perfect? No, but if He wanted perfect, He never would have sent you. If He wanted perfect, He's got angels sitting around the throne. He Himself could have come down and split the heavens wide open and explained to the person. But He didn't need perfect. He wanted you to do it. And He put those opportunities in your path. And He put those people there. And they're willing to listen. There was a conversation I had with somebody before we moved up here. And I said, well, they're like, because we were talking about how to tell if maybe the church will find out they made a mistake. And I'm like, well, I don't know how they would know, but I know that I will know if after a couple years, you know, 1 year, maybe year and a half, people just start leaving. Or if I show up and the door won't open anymore. Thankfully, we're not there yet. If we get the opportunity to take the Word of God to somebody, either as an encouragement, as, yes, sometimes as a correction, or, oh man, to give the gospel. Be glad of that and praise the Lord for it. We used to sit there and I would talk among some friends. And, man, I talked to 7 people. No, like we sit there at the church sometimes. I talked to 7 people yesterday while we were going door to door. None of them showed up. And it took me a while to learn this, that you don't need to sit there and nobody showed up unless you're out there chloroforming people, throwing them in your car. That's not going to happen. It's an ill precedent to set for yourself because it's the Lord that does the work, right? I go, we got to talk to 7 people yesterday, which is impressive because a lot of people don't open their doors. And a lot of Saturdays we'd go out and I'd not find one door that would open for me. Praise the Lord, we got to talk to 7. Now what the Lord does after that, that's on Him. I'm going to praise Him for the opportunity to obey Him 7 times. And I'll even give you this, Lord, I'm glad You gave me the strength and the ability to go out there and do a whole street or 2 streets or 3 streets. We'd have some people that would show up to this thing. They were the older men that taught some of us younger men. And they would go out there and they would lose their breath or they would lose strength in their legs after 3 or 4 houses. We'd have to have somebody drive alongside because they refused to stay back at the church and just pray. You could just stay back and pray for us. No. No, you could trust us. You taught us well. No, it's okay. I'm going with you. But praise the Lord we're able to do those things. Because it won't always be the case. It won't always be the case that we've got the strength or we've got the voice to be able to serve Him. What we ought to do in our lives is lift up the things that we have. Be they opportunities to serve Him, or they're the things that we've got in our lives, we need to lift those things up to Him and say thank you. Acknowledge that what we have came from Him, and that it could have gone any other way were it not for Him. And do that for everything in our lives. And I'll tell you what, you know what's going to happen to your frustration? It's going to go down. Why? Because you're not just upset that there's stuff all over the floor. You're happy for the kids that made the mess. Now, you still might have to kick their tail a little bit to get it clean, but you understand what I'm saying. You're not going to be upset at the traffic. You're going to be glad that you're on a vacation. Lord, thank you for this opportunity. You're not going to be frustrated at the work because you're glad that you've got it. You're not going to be upset at the family in your life too badly because you're glad you have family. I told somebody one time, I go, you need to be glad your family's just a little crazy. Because some people are celebrating this by themselves. Oh, my family, they're so annoying. You don't understand. Yeah. You know what's really annoying? Wanting to be with family and you can't. Right? That's hard. That's hard. You know, we got, maybe 2020. We got COVID for Christmas. Couldn't go nowhere. Couldn't go see nobody. That was rough. 2021 was awesome. Because we got to have the people back. I mean, we were sick as dogs. We were having a hard time. And you sit there and you go, man, I wish I was sitting there right now being annoyed by my aunt than over here trying to find a tissue. Lift everything you have up to the Father. And you tell Him thank you every day. Amen. Tell Him thank you. And we'll stop with that attitude of, oh, this stinking car. Oh, I can't believe this. Oh, I hate that. I don't like that. Start lifting stuff up and saying thank you, and you'll find opportunities to praise Him. Because we mumble and complain about all sorts of little things. And there's people out there that have it worse. And who knows, maybe tomorrow you'll have it worse. Right? We get frustrated. Oh man, this isn't as nice. This isn't as good. I don't like this. It doesn't work all that well. And then all of a sudden it breaks down and we don't have it anymore. And all of a sudden we wish we had it back. You know, I had a buddy that did that with his car. Now I took joy in my old beater car. By the first car that I got, that 1986 Suburban, I got a kick out of that thing. I think it was like driving a tank you could put your friends in. I had one friend, he inherited this absolute shoebox. And we were concerned that if you were to wash it, it would wash away most of the car. You know what I'm talking about? This thing was old. It was sad. Grumbled about it. He grumbled about it to the day it broke down. And then he got to grumble about needing a ride. Oh, I can't believe the car broke down. Oh, I wish I had it again. You know what? The heater didn't work. One of the windshield wipers didn't work. It shook violently every now and then, but it still got me to school. It's better than taking the bus. Yeah, it was. Be glad. Oh, this lay, I can't believe this problem over here. My shoes, my kids, my wife, my dog, my whatever, blah, 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 blah. You better be glad. You better praise God for it. Because you don't know. I started off with it, and I'll say it again. So much of our frustration in our life, so much of our dissatisfaction with our life stems because we are not grateful. Oh, no, brother, I'm grateful. I'm super glad. I thank God every day for the things. Yeah, but how grateful? How grateful? Does it change the way you view things? Right? Because some of us, we're grateful like this. Thanks. Some of us look at it and go, wow, my life would be pretty awful without this. Thank you. And it shakes us to our core. And the more we lift those things up to God in gratitude and thanks, the smaller the storms will look and the happier we'll be. How many people are out there right now are in tens of thousands of dollars in credit card debt because they feel like they need to get something new because the old things that they have aren't good enough? I know people who have whole rooms in their house they can't get into, and they're still going down to the Walmart to buy more to put into that room. Why? Because they need to feel something. Lift up what you have. Thank you. Especially for those of us that have experienced loss in things. You know what you do? You grab a hold of what's left and you hug it. You hug it tight to your heart and you say, Lord, thank you for this. And Lord, don't let me have to lose something else to be this grateful. Thank you. Parents who get frustrated at their kids become parents who are frustrated waiting for their kids to call. People who are upset with the way that their things work become people who are upset at the things that they used to have and no longer have. This very moment, all of your stuff, your exact condition, is filled with wonderful things. And we serve a God who does wonderful things. And if we fail to praise God for everything we have, regardless of the scars and the bumps and the wounds, if we fail to do so, it's almost like a half-life. It's a miserable life. We're giving ourselves to a life of misery and sorrow. When instead we could turn around, look at God for who He is. Look at what He has given us for what it is. And do the only respectable thing and praise Him. Heavenly Father, Lord, You're so good to us and all the things that You give us and all the things that You are to us. Father, You care for every morsel of food in our pantry. You care for every drop of gas in our tanks. Father, You care for our health. You care for our well-being. You care for our spiritual strength. Father, help us to praise You the way You deserve to be praised. Father, we could have the strongest, most perfect, and clear voices. We could have the ability to write poetry that just would shock the world for its beauty. But Lord, it still wouldn't be enough for what You deserve. Father, I pray that we try harder to show to You our gratitude. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.